What's up, KD Time friends? Welcome back to another episode of KD Time, the sometimes weekly but mostly timely podcast for each and every podcast fan. I am your host, KD, and on this podcast series, I bring on all kinds of things to the table, from discussing culture, topics, movies, TV show, music, sports, food, and of course, general nostalgia. Join in the fun, share, and subscribe wherever you are listening. In this episode of KD Time, I would like to tell you guys that I have a wonderful guest who's coming onto the show. Her name is Lou, and she's speaking to me all the way from Ireland, and she has a wonderful story to share. She speaks a little bit about her life with her grandmother, who was one of the oldest women in Ireland, and what she's done as a accomplished writer, as well as someone who just likes to have a good laugh on her spare time on lives. You can go live with Lou and laugh with her on her Facebook and for the most part, most of her social media. She's a great person that I enjoyed having on the show. And I can't wait for you guys to hear her message. It's coming up right after this.
Welcome to the show. This is KD Time, and I have a special guest with me. I have Lou. She's talking with me from Dublin. I mean, in my time, it's a Saturday afternoon. At my time, it's around 12 in the afternoon, but for her, it's around 5 p.m. And I'm just so glad that she was able to take the time to talk with me and just to tell me her story and to just explain a little bit about why she wanted to come on the show and, give the listeners a different perspective of life from where she's at. So, hey, Lou, say hello to the people.
Hey, Katie, and all your listeners. Thanks so much for giving me a shot, giving me a chance and pressing play on this episode. And hopefully I deliver something nice to the ears.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So tell us a little bit about yourself and we'll start from there.
Yeah, thanks, Katie. And thanks for having me on. It's a real pleasure to be talking to you today. So my name is Louise Coughlin, but I'm known as Lou to many people. And I'm over here in Ireland on the little leprechaun, Green Isle. My story, I suppose, It's a large one, and yet it's a small one in the sense that I published a book. I suppose I'll start from there. I published a book last October, and The book itself was the life story of my grandmother. Her name was Granny Nancy, and she lived to be 107 years of age, and she passed away a month short of her 108th birthday. So she was the oldest woman in Ireland, and I had lived with her for just about 3 years, a year before the pandemic, and then all the way through the lockdowns and all of the rest that went through that time. And I suppose, you know, she was my grandmother, but she was a very special woman. And I know that sounds biased from the outset because we were related, but she really stepped out on her own. And not only by her age, but just by her attitude and the way she took on life. And during our time during the lockdown, I was doing Facebook Lives and stuff like that on my personal end of stuff before all that happened. But then when lockdown came, I started to do more on my page, and my own personal page grew out of hand. And all of a sudden it was 4,000 people looking in, and I was thinking, this is allow people on my personal page. So I created a Facebook page called Living and Laughing with Lou in an effort to reach out to people and to try and just give them a little bit more hope to know that they weren't on their own. I had seen a lot of heads go down and, you know, my head wasn't far from going down myself. And I just said, what way could I help people? And from that Facebook page, the Living and Laughing with Lou Facebook page, I used to go live twice. So I would do a cup of tea at 11 in the morning and we'd have the chats and the banter or coffee, whatever anyone could grab. And then at 8 o'clock at night, we do another live. And that's the one where Granny would sit in on the Facebook live with me. So she ended up doing Facebook lives every night with me. And she was an absolute pro. She just was so up for it. And she understood it, you know, she understood the internet, which was the most fascinating part of it. And as we reached out to people, they reached back to Katie and, you know, we never looked back. We had absolute time of our life. And we were very fortunate that people were so good to us. They were sending us postcards and presents and all sorts of messing. And equally, we were returning the messing back, you know. So I suppose that has been a huge part of the last number of years of my life and will forever be my legacy and equally my heartbreak while, thank God, through the healing process of just grieving and going through it and learning to live without her in one way, but having her very, you know, deeply entangled in my heart. You know, moving forward with my life, but never moving away from her.
Yes, yes. That's a really beautiful, you know, explanations of your story and just saying that, you know, she was such a huge part of your life and just, you know, her presence was so great. And I just by listening to that, I feel like, you know, I would have had a great time with her myself. So it's just like she sounds like a wonderful person. And I do send out my condolences and everything. I'm sure that she enjoyed her time here. And you know, the one thing that I try to encourage or try to, like, even just to myself, or if I can encourage other people, it's just like, I know that it's, I know it's not like 100% possible, but I do believe with my own beliefs and my own religion that you will see her someday. I do believe that. And, you know, hopefully not too soon, but just in general, I do hope that, you know, you'll see her someday and we could all meet and be happy.
100%. I'm right beside you. I completely, you know, I always say to people, I'm not actually afraid of dying. That part of it does not worry me. And it never has, because I have complete faith. There's something better beyond this world. I actually think this is the hard part, you know, living on this earth is really tough. And this is where we go through the tough obstacles. I think the next part will be so joyous and peaceful. And, you know, and for me, it's definitely, I talk a lot on my page. And when I talk about these topics, I'm a big believer in the sky. So I love the moon, the stars and the sun. And particularly even the evening before Gran passed, there was a beautiful rainbow outside and it landed right on our house. And I've got so many signs since I left, you know, because we had made a promise to each other. I had said to Granny, how am I going to cope without you? And not only that, we in the book, I had asked her, we talked a lot about dying and death, because it was just an opportunity to ask her and she didn't mind me asking. And she was like, I don't know why no one comes back and tells us, you know, what's the story. And I like, I know, why is that, you know? And I said, you know what, we'll do, me and you now. And she's like, well, we're going to make a promise. If I go before you, I'm going to come back and you're going to have so many signs that you won't be able to cope, that you'll be like, oh, that's Lou. And she was like, right. And I said, now you have to return the favor, because, like, you know, just to make sure. So we shook on it. Yeah. And it was in laughter, but it was very serious too, because we were in the depths of really talking about it. And I said, you have to promise, because I won't cope without you. And I know you won't cope without me, you know. And ever since that, like, it was just between butterflies and landing on me on New Year's Eve. A butterfly was in here in a room and it kept landing on my shoulders, then it landed on my runner and I was totally freaking out. And but it was so beautiful. And then rainbows, when I'd be really down in my, like, really grieving and really, really lonely, like, rainbows would just appear with no rain. It just would appear. And I'd always be like, oh, that, I know that too. And then I love when the sky is just so pretty. And even at night when it's so dark and there's a beautiful moon and there's stars, just like, that has to be beyond. They have to be up there somewhere looking down and saying, it's okay, you're going to be okay. And because this world is really hard, Katie. I think, you know, this path, is tough. And even though when you have love, we're very lucky, but you know, being left behind is tough, and that's something nobody escapes. We're all going to battle with grief and loss once we love. And sure, what else are we here to do? Only love each other, right?
Right. I 100% agree. I think that, you know, it's definitely tough, and it's, I don't think we were meant to be like truly 100% happy on this earth. I don't think that was part of the plan. I feel like, you know, we're just meant to be here for a time and, you know, share our light, share our joy, share the good times and share the grief. Like it's okay to grieve. It's okay to cry. It's okay to express those emotions because we are only human. So, yeah. But so what, like, tell me some of your favorite moments before you started like doing the lives with your grandmother.
Yeah, like across my, I suppose I've been very fortunate and very lucky that I would put it in the line that I've had a good life. I've worked as a journalist for a number of years. I have my own PR and marketing company where I managed bands. So I toured bands and would have released their singles and toured festivals. And so I lived a life that I really believed in and something I was passionate about, because I'm a creative by my nature with the writing and all that kind of end of things. So during those years, I was very fortunate to be, I suppose, an advocate, a voice, a supporter of those who are creative. And I would count that an honor. I absolutely loved being part of all those teams and helping musicians find their way through and not giving up. And when the drummer or the guitarist wanted to quit, sitting down having tea and just working our way through it. And so a lot of those, like when I look back at that time in my work career, which I'm relating to work, but I suppose I never seen it as work. I had the time of my life. And look, I've stepped away when I became a full-time carer to something totally different, but I'm very happy that I'm kind of back in that field again, because helping others is definitely something I am very I don't know, I just feel it's part of who I am, you know.
Yeah. How did you happen to get into that? Was it like, did you go to school for journalism and then you were like, after that they start to send you places, like the companies would send these places, and then you were just like,
I actually didn't really know what I wanted to do after I left school. So I did an arts degree in English and sociology and geography. Mm-hmm. And then I went on and I did a postgrad in communications. And I suppose that's where, in TV and radio. And then that's where I decided I really want to communicate. And so I moved into kind of television, and then I got really involved in radio, which I loved. I love the medium of radio because I actually love the power of the voice. I think the voice is just beautiful. I love tone, and I love how people deliver things, and I like being able to hear what people are really saying. Whereas, and as much as I love pictures and it's great to see the visual, sometimes you can really hear something in someone's voice when you're just focused on what they're saying. And you know, and it's so funny, I say that because I was only speaking yesterday about a book called The Five Agreements, and it's one of my favorite books. And one of the agreements is to be impeccable with your word in this life. And I just think it's so valid to tie back. So then I got into that whole industry, and I never looked back really, because the journalism brought my passion for writing to the table. And it's kind of funny, because when I was in school, all my English teacher did was put red marks all over my English. Every essay I failed, the class would be like, "Well, Lou, did you fail?" I was like, "Yeah, I failed again. Shakespeare, fail." And ironically, then I worked for the local paper, in which she was reading the paper, and she used to laugh when she meet me. She's like, "I love your pieces." I was like, "Thanks a million." I don't think I was very good in school, but I'm allowed now. But look, that kind of tells you in the big picture, you know, it's important to follow your passion, isn't it? And you know, no matter what. And she was right. My grammar is just brutal. I have really bad grammar. So I totally don't take that away from her. But yeah. I suppose my passion to communicate is what has always been so eager. And that is even just, you know, being here with you today. You know, it's such a gift to meet a new person. And it gives me such energy, because good people are everywhere. And, you know, they really refuel and reignite me. And I get so excited. I love the people I love. Mm-hmm. I love finding new people too.
Yeah. That's important, especially because, like, if you surround yourself with the same kind of people all the time, you're only going to get one perspective, one view. But if you expand and like try to talk to more people, you'll find out that a lot of people do have the same opinions and some don't. And you're just kind of like getting to know everyone. And it's just like, wow, there's a lot of different personalities all over the place. And you wouldn't know that if you didn't branch out. So that's pretty cool that you were able to do that and expand your brand and, you know, have your own business. That's so awesome. Like, I want to get on your status, Lou. Like, I really want to get up there. I don't know what I want to do with my life right now, but I know that like with podcasting and with just being able to use my platform to just I don't really educate people. I would say I just kind of like just talk about general nostalgia, just talk and use my words to talk about like things that I care about, things that like make sense to me or whatever. I don't try to like confuse myself or confuse others that are listening and just like, wait, what is she talking about? Like, no, I'm just trying to have a good time on my podcast, you know? And I like using the platform to just express myself. It's like I've said this a couple of times, that it's a verbal blog, you know, it's just someplace for me to, for me to talk and get my thoughts across, and whoever listens to it. If not, it is what it is, but at least I got my own thoughts out there, you know? So,
Katie, so yeah. I love it. And look, you, whatever you're imagining and I am, you are already, because 100%, because I believe once you're being yourself and you're following your passion and you're giving it a go, that's the win in this life. There's so many people that hold back, so many people that just stay where they are. And I always say, stay where you're safe. The comfort zone is so easy to stay in. I've stayed in it 1,000 times. I will stay in it 1,000 times more. But the days that we step out and are brave in any capacity or whatever capacity that we reach out in is always enough, you know, because it's a vulnerability just to do that. And look, just by this, me and you chatting, like, you know, you're making me smile from ear to ear. So like, even if this podcast never even got put out and it's a conversation, you know, it's magic. Human connection is the best of all. And I think, you know, we're very similar. Look, you have a great open mind and I love the way you approach it. You are you, and that's what the world needs. We need more people stating that who they are and then being who they are and then not being afraid to show it.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree. That's all we want. That's all we want, is to be able to be heard as a people, to be seen as a people, you know, and just be able to do what we love, do what we want to do, you know. So question. So like, when you were writing your books and stuff, is this like one and done kind of book, or do you have like sequels? Are you going to try to do other types of books, or like, are you kind of like staying close to what you started with?
No, that was my very first book, but I was that typical writer, and for my whole life people were like, have you your book done yet? You have to write a book. There's a book in you all my life, but I could never get it out of me, because I started them all, then became vulnerable, then became scared, then became afraid, then stopped. So with this book about Granny Nancy, being Ireland's oldest lady, that's what the book's called. I've done all the interviews with her while we were together, because I saw it as an opportunity to capture her. And again, we made a few promises. I mean, Granny made 3 promises, but the second promise was, she had said to me, if you get this book finished now and I'm not here, you have to go with it now and get it out there. And I was like, oh, sure, you're gonna be here, don't worry about it. And sadly, that was August. And then in the September 21, she passed. So then I was just left devastated and never thought of the book after that. I was just trying to focus with who was I, because I'd become a full-time carer. So I really had lost who I was, because it was in the pandemic. And even when the lockdowns lifted, I never moved. I never went and met a friend. I was too scared that I would bring COVID to her in any capacity, and that's how I'd lose her, and I would never have been able to live with myself. So instead of putting that risk, I decided no way was I doing anything for myself, and I was going to continue just really being locked in with Granny. But it wasn't painful by any means. We had the time of our lives, but there was a huge sacrifice in that, in the sense that I didn't notice that I had lost who I was within that time. And when she left then, it was very much, I don't know who I am. It was devastating, really, because she had become my all and I had lost myself. So the January of 2022, I came into this room that I'm sitting, and her holy pictures are here, and across this her bedroom, and this was actually here. So I said, you know what? I have her story, and that is a gift that has been left to me. And if I don't take it out of myself, it would be a shame to not share it when I knew there was so much hope and love in it. So I sat down here January 5th and I started to write and started to look at all the videos and go through all the interviews. Now, it was the worst thing I've ever done to myself, like talking about a cracked, broken heart and really jabbing my wound over and over. And really, in that sense, I'm very sure no book will ever be as hard to write as that one. When I finished it, though, I was determined to finish it for her 100th. It would have been her 108th birthday in October. So I finished it on September. So it took me 9 months to write. It was 55,000 words. I handed the manuscript to the print company. And on the 16th of October, I launched the book. And then I went on a 10-week Irish tour. And then I went to the States for 3 weeks there in March. So I was in New York and I was in Boston and I was in Cape Cod touring the book. And then I went to London for a week. And I'm back now on my Irish tour here. And would you believe, last weekend, I started book number two. And that book is going to be, the next two books are kind of skeletons out. They're not, they're not going to be so much on directly on Granny, but the next book is about leaning into your light, and very much I have a team about leaning in and leaning out in how to cope when life goes wrong. So that's going to be kind of that one. And then the following one is really about how to survive grief. So I started that one when I was really grieving very, very heavily and intensely with her loss. And so that's kind of my structure of what I'm thinking on forward, if that gives a kind of a broad statement.
It's good. I appreciate you even like giving me a little bit of sneak peek of what you have coming up, which is really awesome. And just getting to know you, I do want to like try and get the book and try and read and learn more about your grandmother and everything. I do want to ask, was your parents involved at all? Or they like, what were they doing?
My mom would have been Granny Nancy's daughter. That's Olive. And she's my best friend, too. I love her to bits. And in many ways, my love for Granny was very much cemented into my love for my mom, because at the time, someone needed to kind of step in with Granny. And you know, Mammy couldn't do it. She has a full time farm, and Granny's daughters and that would and son would be of the older age. So I just was in the right time in my life, Katie, to step in, because I don't have kids and I could step in with Gran and be that person. You know, she had loads of family members who were also good and supportive. But of course, when it came to the lockdown moment, it was a case that it was me that was here that year previous. So it was how it worked out. And then my dad, who also was hugely influential on me, unfortunately passed away 8 years ago from lung cancer. So that was my first meeting with grief. And I think that taught me an awful lot about who the person I've become since. Mm-hmm. He got diagnosed in the May of 2014 and passed away in the August. And he had stage four lung cancer, and it was horrendous. It was the definition of seeing someone being tortured for 3 months. They could not get on top of the pain of his cancer, and went from his lungs to his bones to his brain. And a very quiet, unassuming dairy farmer who had great faith and loved his family and loved his farm. And over a weekend in May, got diagnosed with cancer, and sadly, this world, you know, screaming. He really didn't die in a nice way. And I don't share that to scare anybody. But I suppose for myself, it was a real opening moment to realize, you know, and I often say this, you know, I had to learn and figure out myself. Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, I couldn't figure that out after I watched that. I was like, what? I don't get this. What's the point of being good if this is what's going to happen to you? And, you know, I had to work through that. And I went everywhere and anywhere asking everyone what they thought. You know, if I saw, I would have visited a lot of graveyards as I was passing. If I saw people in them, I'd, you know, float around and try and see how they were dealing with their grief and what happened. If they were open, as you know, the open energy you can spot. And then I went to priests, I went to nuns, I went to the Buddhist centers. I just went everywhere to try and find out, how do I cope with my life going forward? If this is going to happen, loads of good people I know. But what I figured out, Katie, it's my own way to cope from that moment, was that bad things don't just happen to good people. Bad things just happen. They just happen.
Exactly.
It's the things that are just going to happen in our lives. And, you know, since that, I think I've been trying to learn as best I can.
Yeah.
Lots of mistakes, but as best I can, to how to cope with this world and how to cope and prepare myself for bad things. And when it's good, I'm kicking up my feet and I'm living my best life and I'm taking photographs and I'm spending time with good people and I'm loving them as much as I can. And then when happy times come, that's where that whole idea of the lean in, lean out approach is. I lean into myself when I need the resilience that I know that's in there and dig deep. But if it's not enough in there, if I don't have enough in there to carry me, I lean out. And I lean out onto the people who I've put my effort into and my energy into. And they're always there. They'll always catch you, you know?
Yeah. I've asked myself that question too, because there's been a few different times where I've lost people, or like my friends have lost people, and it's just like, wait, why? Like, what happened? What was the reason? You know? And it's interesting that you had mentioned that, because not last weekend, but I think the weekend right before that. So at my church, they have this series was called like a Jesus and series. So I don't know, you know, I don't know how much or like what level of Christianity you have, or if you are a Christian. I'm not really 100% sure. I'm not trying to impose or anything, but they literally were talking about in the latest Jesus and series, it was Jesus and suffering. And the speaker, he was just saying that, like, in a way, we are meant to suffer because of what happened way back when, like after Adam and Eve decided to eat the apple and they brought sin into the world. And because sin was brought into the world, and subsequently we've had suffering, because we just, if that didn't happen, we would still, you know, be happy and running around like nobody's business, or we would have learned in a different way of how to live and how to be. But it was basically because of that. So like, it's not that, you know, the way that they described it, I mean, I'll try and send you the link so you could watch it for yourself. And for anyone who's listening, I could definitely put it on my social media and everything. But the series was just saying that, like, the speaker was saying that the suffering part of it is just like, because Jesus suffered too. He did not suffer, even though he was like the perfect man or the perfect human being. He also suffered, like but he rose again. And we just have to remember that, again, was like, we're only here for a time and we're going to go through everything. We're going to go through grief. We're going to go through mourning. We're going to feel sad. We're going to be happy. We're going to be joyful. We're going to, you know, need times to cry. We're going to need just to go through everything, be excited and all that stuff. And then, you know, when the time comes, we're not going to suffer anymore. We're not going to have to worry about it. It's just going to be, you know, it's going to be good, I think. So, yeah, it's just interesting that you said that. And I want to share that with you. I'll share that with you after our session. I'll send you the link and everything. But yeah, there's definitely a reason for everything. And it is tough. And for things to just happen so quickly, it's so wild. It's so wild. Like, yeah, bad things don't just happen to good people or bad people. It's like, if you're good, then you're supposed to have good things. Not necessarily, because again, like in the Bible with Job, he was a good person.
Job. Yeah, he got a hard time.
Yeah, and he had the worst time. Satan decided to test him and take away everything. And it was just like, He even was like, wait, God, what is up? Why are you, what's going on? And he's like, you know, so it's interesting that, like, that bad things just happen. It's not whether you're good or bad. It just happens. So yeah,
I'm totally with you. And I love that you share all that, because it was actually after my dad passed that our local priest was fantastic, Father Gerard Green. He was amazing in just, actually in the funeral, I got the story, and I never got the story before, because I looked up, there was a big cross way up, and obviously Jesus was hanging on it, and I actually could see my father in his last minutes with his arms out. He'd no shirt on. My father had loads of things connected to him, and he just was screaming, like, he didn't want to leave and he didn't want to die. He was fighting the cancer so much, he actually probably was doing harm to himself, because mentally he was battling it and winning to not die. And physically his body was dying. And for me, that the story of Jesus and all that, it actually just went bing. I was like, oh my God, I never got it. It is really important that we're open, and we're not at open enough, I think, about suffering in the sense of we kind of have created this world that we think everything should be perfect and everything should be handed to us. And really, the test is to survive. And look, come here, such bad things happen. It, you know, you'd be scorned and horrendous about thinking things happen, people, and you don't know what to do and how to cope with it. But it's amazing. Often the people who've been through the most are the ones that are either the most optimistic, they're the kindest people. Like, they're never the ones that are grumpy in the shop. It's funny, like, the people who have very little happening and them aren't biting the head off the girl at the tail. It's like, oh, what? And like, you know, just so somewhere in that suffering thing. And I remember Father Breen really inspired me then, and our family really, to cope with what we were given. And, you know, it was definitely... which would I prefer, my dad suffering or my dad somewhere safe and out of suffering? And there's no question about that, which I would prefer. And I know for sure God has nothing to do with any of that. He wouldn't do this to people. It's not, that's not the story. It's just things happen. And you know, it's that whole thing, fall seven times, get up eight. It really has taught me so much in my coping mechanisms. And yeah, look, to be aware that I escaped for 30 years or 32 years with nothing bad happening to me, and going to funerals and just saying, I'm so sorry for your troubles, but not really understanding. And until you get, you know, really served with death and loss and an empty chair at your kitchen table, you don't really get it. Yeah, you're actually living a great life, but you don't realize it. And but at the same stage, I think for me, death taught me a lesson and I needed to learn it. And it's probably the best lesson I ever learned, which is, bad things are going to happen, but not only that, you will cope, you will survive, and you will come out the other side once you approach it with the right method. Because as you know, as we all know, some people get hurt and then they turn into hurt people who continue to hurt people forevermore because they don't process it. Or who hurt and then process it and try to heal often are the healers of this world, and often are people who bring great compassion forward. And, you know, we all have a choice in how we cope with that darkness when it comes to our door.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So
this is a very deep conversation, me and you.
I didn't think it was going to get this deep, but this is good. This is good. I was going to say, like, to backtrack a little bit. So you mentioned that you came to the States. Was that your first time in the States?
First time ever in America, and I came on my own.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. So out of, you said you went to New York, Boston, and Cape Cod. Out of the three, which one was your favorite?
I could not pick. I love America. All I've done ever since I came home is, like, even on my way when I was leaving, they were all like, why don't you just come back? Do you really need to leave? I was like, I have to go home. And then there was calls for the, like, 2 weeks after, just, are you coming back to book your flights? Up to this week, like, I'm definitely going back before the year's out. I just love the States. I love New York. I love Boston. I love Cape Cod. I love America. And I just couldn't get enough of a kiddie. I just think he's in an amazing place. And one thing I would say, and in my last night in Cape Cod, I had a lovely, beautiful audience. And and I just said to them, you know, I just want to say something before I leave. Often the States get a bad, there's been a bad run of media exposure for a while for the States, right? Very unfairly given. But like I just said, I'm here to change that because I've had the best time of my life and I can't wait to tell everyone how amazing you are. And ever since I came home, I always say, like, if I die tonight, I don't know, that trip was the best thing I ever did, you know? And these are just, you're so like us. These were so embracing to the Irish. And like there was loads of Irish there as well. I was very fortunate. I'm very proud to be Irish because the Irish were so good to me. They really were so good to me over there. Yeah, but the Americans, like, I just couldn't get enough of you.
I want to go to Ireland. I do. I wanted to go to Ireland ever since I've seen the movie Leap Year.
P.S. I Love You. Did you see that one?
I did see P.S. I Love You. And I was going to say that, too, because, like, I was like, I want to go and I want to see the mountains. I want to walk, you know, and I want to see sheep that are just like, they just randomly come out into the streets. You know what I mean? I want to come out there and just do that. I want to be able to travel, but, you know, working a 9-to-5 does not allow me to travel as much as I want to travel.
Oh, but someday you'll get here. I know it. And the sheep will await you and welcome you. And so will I.
Well, great. I mean, we could set that up. I can make a plan and come visit you, and you can show me all of your favorite things, your pubs, you know, all those different places. I would absolutely love that. That'd be so awesome.
There's 5 million leprechauns waiting to welcome you. Dilly eye. Come on, Katie. Let's go. I'm not even messing. It really is. I think we've just made 5 million now in population.
Oh my goodness. When would the best time to come up there would be? What would you suggest?
To Ireland in general. Yeah. Well, like, the winter is winter here, as you know. It's probably not the best time. But like, I suppose September is probably a nice time to come. The summer is lovely as well. And the spring is really nice. We've a beautiful spring. Ah, look, you know, come anytime you want. You know, you might need your umbrella in the middle of August anyway. So the weather, we can't really dictate the weather. But what I learned from being in the States is you're a bit like us anyway. Your weather's a bit all over the shop too. It was just like, what a storm. And then the sun is in the stones. I'm like, no storm, it's sunny. I felt very at home with the weather over there as well. Yeah. You're very like us, actually. New York and Boston all around there. It's kind of very similar to Irish, you know, weather, you know, in the sense of it's not really consistent either. You can get anything, couldn't you?
Okay, so if I already have the weather, so then all I gotta do is just pack a bag and come on.
You know yourself, it's not easy.
And I was, it's funny because, like, okay, I was just watching, have you ever heard of the TV show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia? Or It's Always Sunny?
Never seen it, but heard of it.
It's a wild show, that is. It's a very wild show. And so in their last season, so they're in season 16 right now, but in season 15, they had like 3 or 4 episodes where they were in Ireland. And I was like, nice. Okay. This is a sign. I've gotten to watch it on
TV. Manifestation is happening.
I'm talking to Lou, who's in Ireland right now. I got to make a plan to go out there. So this is all my signs. This is how I know I need to go to Ireland.
Did you see the Banshee of Inisherin?
No. What's that?
Okay, well, it was the one that was up for the Oscars. We got loads of Oscar nominations, and
really?
I didn't see it now, but it's supposedly, like, it's a bit of a mixed bag review, but okay. The sights were beautiful, but the storyline was a bit slow, but supposedly it's deep and meaningful. Okay, well, stick, you're my kind of girl, leap year and PS, I love you. Stay with that, and diddly eye your way around Ireland with your sheep and pints of Guinness everywhere.
I don't think I watched all of the Oscars this year, but I did see the Banshee.
Yeah, it didn't actually win. I think it won the BAFTAs. It won everything else, and they were really disappointed it didn't pick up an Oscar. But some people make a joke and they say it's like the Banshee of Ed Sheeran, you know, because it's Inisherin sounds like Ed Sheeran. So I know. No, my friend Mark from Boston thinks that's very funny, and that's not why I laugh with him. Yeah, look, we're a small country, but we try our best.
Okay, well, that convinces me. I'll definitely try and make a plan, and I'll try and hit you up, and you'll give me a tour, and then we'll go everywhere, because I want to go to Dublin. I want to go to all of the good local areas that are not only popular, but I also want to see places that aren't so popular that just kind of like are, and they're there. And I'm like, yeah, I want to go there. That'd be fun.
The thing is about Ireland, and actually we're very fortunate that we're in Europe, and you know, we're so close to everything. Like I sometimes we forget it here, how close we are to everything. Like we're so close to London. It's like 50 minutes on a flight to London, you know, Barcelona, like Berlin, all these major cities are like 2 hours away and 2.5 hours away. And like, why I say that is like, see in the States, like 2 hours is like, what? 2 hours? 5 minutes. We're like 2 hours really far away. And we're like, no, it's not. And like, sure, we can go 2 hours across the country and that's it. We're at the end. And like, you can go 2 hours and you haven't got anywhere. You're like, oh, I'm not even in Boston yet. So it's just so bad, the whole thing. Like, Europe is probably the size, I don't know, it's tiny anyway compared to all the way over there. And that's because I finally got to America and I understand a little bit more. You're in New York, aren't you, Katie? Are you
I'm not in New York, but like, like not physically, I'm not in New York, but I grew up in New York. I was, I'm a child of New York, you know, grew up in the 90s, and I just recently moved to Connecticut maybe 2 years ago. So yeah, if I were to drive from the city to Boston, that's about 4 hours. So it feels like a long trip. It really does. I've done it a couple times. And then, yeah, it's 2 hours to Connecticut. It's 2 hours from New York to Pennsylvania. You know what I mean? And Jersey's right there. So it's like a quick hop over the Hudson River and boom, you're in Jersey.
I can't cope. But that's the way it was going on over there. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And where in New York did you grow up?
I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I think it's the best borough.
You can say that because it's your podcast.
It is. It's the best borough. And yeah, I grew up there and I have very fond memories of growing up. And I was like one of those New Yorkers that didn't always go to all of the touristy spots. So like I would if, you know, I had friends that wanted to just go like, oh, let's go hang out in Times Square. I'm like, Times Square is so it's a lot. But I mean, I know that there's a lot of people that just love going to Times Square because it's so iconic. It's in every movie when it comes to New York, you know, not every movie, but it's still very prominent in all those kinds of TV shows and movies. And then I don't know, I just enjoy Prospect Park. I enjoy like going to the Grand Army Plaza, which is a library in Brooklyn. You know, the Brooklyn Museum. Like I love Brooklyn. I really do.
Oh, I love it listening to you. It sounds brilliant.
It's an amazing place and they have so much going for it. And then I like going to Manhattan sometimes. I used to work in Manhattan for a few years too. I was just like, the only thing I didn't like was the trains. Have you gotten to a chance to go onto the MTA system and onto the trains and subway?
I was on the train, yeah, because I was staying in, I hope I'm right, Donaldson. Is it Donaldson? On what's the island? Long Island, is it?
Oh, okay.
Is that the right train? That's not the right train that you're talking about.
The train from Long Island is called the LIRR, Long Island Railroad. Did you go on
that? That's what I was on. Oh, I was on that one. Sorry. That's not the same one you're talking about, though, is it?
No. I mean, yeah, that the Long Island Railroad is just a train for Long Island. And it also could take you, I think you could also use it to go to New Jersey to see the MetLife. You could use that. But no, I was talking about like the subway. Like
I was on the tube.
Oh, you did?
Rock and rolled it from, I don't know, can't remember now, from where to where, but I did. I mean, me all brought me. I was like, come on, down here.
That's probably the only thing I don't like about New York as a whole is this, the train system. Mostly because like when it's hot, like if you go in the summertime and you're in there, it is so hot. It is disgustingly hot down there. You get on the train and yeah, there's AC, but I'm just like, why isn't it vented better? It just doesn't make sense. And then, you know, when it's the cold, when it's the wintertime, it is freezing down there. So I'm like, they need to find out a way to make the subway stations, you know, accessible. Like, you know, just like I want it. If it's cold outside, it needs to be warm down there. If it's hot outside, it needs to be cool down there. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, if the train takes forever, we're standing in ridiculous weather. You go outside, you go out of the train station, and it's not that cold or it's not that hot. So I'm like, why is it obscenely hot or cold down here? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we need to put that into a manifesto and send it off to someone. Heat us up when we're cold and cool us down when we're hot.
Excellent. But no, I grew up taking the trains, I grew up taking the buses. And of course, like you would never really want to drive in the city. Do not, if you can avoid driving in Manhattan, avoid it. But you could drive everywhere else. You might get a little confused in Queens because they have like an avenue, a street, a lane, a crossroad.
Yeah, a lot of options and no right turns and then some right turns and all traffic lights are all over the shop. No, yeah. I'm in the passenger seat admiring it all.
It's quite the experience, but I wouldn't trade my experience in New York for anything. I don't think I wouldn't want to be a tourist, like, not, you know, no, like, I know that being a tourist is fun, but it's like the way that New Yorkers feel about tourists is like, if you're going to walk, if you stand there, do not stand there. You know what I mean? Like, don't stand in the way. We got places to be.
True story. But the other thing is, right, Katie, lots of people had prepared me to be overwhelmed. You're going to be overwhelmed. I walked out of the station, that train that I got from Long Island and into, I went into the main station anyway, and out I came.
Yeah.
I was like, where is all this? So, like, it's a huge city, right? But it's actually going at this lovely pace and people are nice. And I just sat into this lovely coffee shop and looked out and I just loved New York. And people kept saying, well, you're not overwhelmed. I was like, no, it's just the city with people in it. And you know, once you go with the flow of any city, you're winning. You're way. You just fit in. Yeah. And people were so friendly, and I loved it. I was so impressed with it. And I've said from that, because so many people kept saying, oh, be prepared, you're gonna be overwhelmed. They said, so I think it's a really important thing to share, is to not take on what other people say about things until you experience yourself. Because they actually people had me anxious about it. And like, I don't get anxious about those things, but because so many people said it, I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna be overwhelmed. But like, it's funny how people's opinions can affect your own feelings in your own mind and body, and all of a sudden you've got this idea. And like, if you tell yourself you're going to be overwhelmed, you're going to be overwhelmed. And but if you go, and I was like, I can't wait to have a great time. Like, the mind is such a wonderful thing, you know. Whatever you tell it, it'll probably feel, if you just tell it off the ground, you know. Oh, New York, fantastic. Boston, fantastic. Cape Cod, fantastic. America, I love ya.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, New York gets a bad rep. They always say that we're mean. They say that we're like tough to get around and all this stuff. It's like, that's not true. We just know what we like. We know what we don't like. We know where we want to be. We're trying to get somewhere. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you can just blend in a way, we're just kind of like, keep the flow, keep everybody's moving, let's go, you know. It's the ones that like to stop it and just be like, oh. It's like, what?
Dilly-dally and block the traffic. I know about them. Move it along there.
Don't get me wrong. Like, if it's in the morning, like, if it's during rush hour in the morning or rush hour in the evening, that's probably when New Yorkers are probably the grumpiest, because it's like, all right, I'm rushing to get where I got to go. But if it's, like, during the day, any time between, I want to say, like, 9:30 to maybe 3, well, no, like, not 3, like, maybe 9:30 to, like, around 2, because once the school kids get out, you do not want to be on the streets. It's,
I'll just go back into the cafe and wave at everyone.
Exactly. It's just, like, during the day when it's nothing, like, serious going on, there's no rush hour, it is a beautiful time. You can just go out and walk and chill. But if it's during the week, like, on a Monday through Friday, and it's in the morning or the early evening, it's just like, everybody wants to get home.
That's totally allowed.
Yeah. So, are there any other like tidbits you want to share about your story? Like, is there anything else that you'd like to share with the listeners, or like, you could plug yourself, tell them where to find you, you know, how to get in contact with you to learn more about who you are and learn more about Granny Nancy, and just like, even like, if they want to, like, for me, because I really want to try and plan to come out to Ireland. So if any listeners want to go to Ireland, how would they, you know, get in contact with you?
Yeah, well, I think the best way, the Facebook page is really the strongest community based in which you'll catch me. Hold on, I do Facebook Lives every day from there. So if you want to see Ireland in its full action, all over the shop, potholes and all, that way. So it's Living and Laughing with Lou on Facebook. I'm very active there, and there's a huge community after growing there, and they're just the most amazing people. They were the ones that organized my Irish tour, they collected me and put me up all over Ireland, and then did the same in the States. they organized my American tour for me. So they're such a great community. And if you were interested in reading the book of Ireland's Oldest Lady, it can be bought from livingandlaughingwithlou.com, and it'll be sent out to you wherever you are in the world. And then only, if you don't mind me mentioning just one other thing, Katie, two things actually. I do motivational coaching for creatives. So that's available from my website, loucoughlan.com, L-O-U-C-O-G-H-L-A-N. So I do online sessions with people if they're stuck in any of their creative life. I do an awful lot of that kind of coaching, and people who are stuck with stuff in general, I help them through that channel. And then my writing platform, where I spend an awful lot of time every week, I do a kind of a newsletter of kind of hope and love and laughter, and livingandlaughingwithlou.substack.com. I love the new platform, like, of Substack. I know it's out a few years, but it's very much only starting over here in Ireland, and I've been, you know, it's only growing legs, Substack, now to I think really make a difference for writers. But I'm a huge advocate for it, and it has given me just a great place to put my words. You know, I write there every week. I used to write twice a week on it. And yeah, look, it's another place to communicate with me. And, you know, it's supposed, the community on Facebook is definitely something I would direct people to, because it's a place for people to be vulnerable. And the community there are very open and very trusting. And we share the deepest of things. You know, we laugh and we cry in there. So if ever you're feeling alone, I would really encourage you to come and sit with us there, and I promise you, you'll feel lighter. It might not take the trouble away, but you will definitely know you're not alone in this world. And I think that's the key, you know. I'm a believer, it's not about me, it's about us. And you know, there's billions of people on the planet, you know, so why be alone, or why feel lonely, when we can just move closer to each other and make sure nobody ever feels like that, if I can at all help.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you again for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it. I loved hearing your story, and I can't wait to talk to you some more. And maybe, you know, we could talk about your book specifically on another episode or something like that. And just, like, maybe you could read a few lines or something. And again, you can find her on Facebook, she said, Living and Laughing with Lou. And she has her own website. You guys can go there as well, livingandlaughingwithlou.com. That's Living and Laughing, no capitals, no, you know, spaces or anything. L-O-U. That's Lou. Thanks again, Lou. I really do appreciate it. Now, you know,
thank you so much, Katie, for having me. Like, you know, your support means an awful lot to me, and you're such a good egg, a good human, and I'm so happy I found you. We need more people with your voice and your heart, producing podcasts and, you know, reaching out to the world. Me and you are completely on the same page. We're trying to give hope and light and love out through who we are. And, you know, the world definitely needs that. So thank you so much for having me and for your time and effort to do this. I really appreciate it, though. Thanks a million.
Of course. Thank you.
I really enjoyed talking with Lou and enjoying her company on the show. She was a blast to speak with, and she made me laugh a lot, as you guys can tell. We had a great time, and it felt like we knew each other for so long. That's how great the chemistry was between one another. And I'm really glad that she was able to come onto the show, and I'm hoping that you guys were encouraged and inspired by her story. And I hope you guys reach out to her. She's a wonderful person to speak with, and she's genuinely someone that's, like, a little bit like me. We have the same kind of mindset, and we think the same on a lot of good topics. And I'm, again, so grateful that she was able to come onto the show. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. On the next episode of KD Time, I thought it would be really fun to sort of go on a bit of a tangent, just a little bit. I would like to talk about animated best friends, my own personal list of animated best friends. It could be anywhere between the ultimate best friend group that is Timon and Pumbaa, all the way down to the best friends who were Mike and Sully, or even a non-Disney related animation of best friends, like the group from Cyber Chase, those four best friends that decided to beat Hacker at his game. That's coming up on the very next episode of KD Time. You know what to do. Hit me up on my social media at KD Time Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And I will catch you guys on the next one. Deuces.